Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Carol Kapuska. I'm your worship hostess today. We are a church that seeks to know God, love God, and serve God. And one of the ways that we can do that is to fill out your connection cards. You should have received one of these when you came in today. Fill that out. That lets us know that you're here. But also on the back are some opportunities for us to learn more about God, to serve God. And so fill that out if you are feeling that that is what is on your heart, and place that into the collection plate as it comes around later this morning. Also, there are prayer cards in the places in front of you in the pews. If you are in need of some extra prayers, if someone you know is in need of some prayer, we have wonderful teams or even just the pastors that can pray for those folks. And if you're feeling on your heart that someone you know would like to have a prayer quilt, that's something you can put on those cards as well. And those go into the offering plate also. Also, today we have Sunday school or nursery that we invite our kiddos to, if that's something that you're interested in. And finally, today, our worship leaders, our Tom Doan is our liturgist, so he'll be bringing the word for us and prayer. Also, we have Susan Snow tickling the ivories for us today. We have Reverend James Comer, who will be presiding over our communion table. And last but not least is the Reverend Sue Patu, who will be bringing our message today. And she serves at Cass Community Social Services as well. So, without further ado, please stand, and we will sing our first hymn.
Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. Risen Lord and Savior, we give ourselves to you this morning in worship. Be with us today and in our darkest hour. Lift us up so that we can lift others in your name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
The scripture reading this morning is from John 21, 1-19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I am Reverend Supatu. I'm a deacon serving at Cass Community Social Services and Cass Community United Methodist Church, and this is home. It's so good to be back here with all of you again. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Imagine for a minute that someone very close to you has recently died. You're still grieving the loss and are a bit confused about the whole thing, but you're trying desperately to get on with life as usual. You've just gone back to work and the day was a failure, a complete and utter failure. And some guy comes along and tells you to try it a different way. Though you haven't done it in a while, you've been doing your job successfully for quite some time and know what you're doing, but this guy is persistent. You've had a bad day, and so just to shut him up, you do it his way. And of course it works. And it doesn't just work, it's overly successful. And just as you're wondering, how did this happen, you recognize that guy as the person that had recently died. And not only was it your friend standing there telling you how to do your job and bringing success to the failure of the day, but that friend has also made you a meal so that you could have some time together to talk about your awful, now not so awful, day. That would be pretty unbelievable, right? Well, that's kind of what happened here with Jesus and the disciples. They're trying to move on after some hardly believable events, and Jesus shows up to teach them and feed them one more time. We're still in the season of Easter, and I know that last week you talked about Thomas, so let's review it a bit. For the disciples, the general landscape of life over the last week of Jesus' life had been overwhelming. The tension-filled emotional high of their journey into Jerusalem was followed by extraordinary events in the temple, a Passover meal unlike any other, an intense experience in the Garden of Gethsemane, an unexpected betrayal, an armed arrest, a series of denials, a mock trial, a jeering mob, and a bloody execution. Then, of course, there was that empty tomb, a resurrection that they really didn't understand, and appearances that had to be seen to be believed. I'm sure the disciples, after locking themselves in the upper room for a while, just had to get away to sort things out. So they traveled home, about 80 miles north to Jerusalem, to the things that were familiar to them, and they went fishing. The story of working all night and catching nothing is a repeat. When Jesus first started calling the disciples, he found many of them, according to the text in Luke, fishing. Then, too, they'd been out all night and had caught nothing. Jesus instructed them to move the nets, and the resulting catch required two boats to bring it to shore. Jesus' words to some of these same disciples then were, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." And according to the Luke text, they pulled their boats up to the shore, left everything they had, and followed him. In today's text, there's one boat and seven disciples. They've returned to their previous vocation and head back to shore with empty nets after a night of fishing. And there stands Jesus. His call to them is to go back out and try again, and he gives them instructions as to the next step. He tells them to put their nets on the right side of the boat, and they follow those instructions. While the story in Luke is rightly called a commissioning story, this appearance to the disciples is the third, or the fourth if you count Mary Magdalene. It's the third resurrection appearance in John. In this setting, we experience a recommissioning of sorts. The amazing thing is that the disciples didn't know who he was at first, but they went back out anyway. Was it their desperation for a catch? The love of the task itself, a desire for success, a sense of the specialness of this man calling them to try it again, or something else? Whatever it was, they ventured back out and found huge success. 153 fish, or so it says, a representative of every fish known at that time. Think about that for a second. And then around a fire, with the warmth of it calling them in and the smells of baking bread and roasting fish, they have breakfast with the man they now recognize as Jesus. It's a sacramental event, bread and fish rather than bread and wine, but it's a communal meal, and Jesus is doing the feeding one more time. It's at this meal that they receive their recommissioning from their beloved teacher. They're reminded of who they are and what they were originally called to be. They're challenged to get back in the boat and try again, and reminded that Jesus, though not in the flesh, will be with them always. Even after his resurrection, Christ is caring for his disciples and loving them so they would know how to love others. He gives them instructions about how to fish for people and to be persistent, even if it doesn't work the first time. He shows them that they can catch and should catch one or some of every kind, and shows them how to care for each other by feeding them. And then Jesus focuses on Peter. A few chapters earlier in this text, there was an incident, if you remember, where Peter denied Jesus three times. He knew Jesus was going to be crucified. He didn't want to be arrested himself. So when people asked him if he knew Jesus, he denied it. He said he didn't even know Jesus. I can't imagine how Peter must have felt about all of that, considering everything that had taken place. But here in today's scripture, Jesus gives Peter a chance for a redo. The one-on-one encounter between Jesus and Peter reminds me of a scene in Fiddler on the Roof, one of my favorite musicals of all time. One of the less popular, or at least lesser-known songs in the musical is called Do You Love Me? Tevye and Golda are a Jewish couple living in pre-revolutionary Russia and struggling with changing traditions and growing anti-Semitism. Two of their five daughters have rebelled against tradition and chosen to marry someone they love rather than being betrothed to someone chosen for them by the local matchmaker. As their parents try to come to terms with this unfamiliar concept of marrying for love, Tevye asks his wife, "Do you love me?" Golda calls him a fool, accuses him of having indigestion, and tells him to go lie down. But Tevye reminds her of the day they met, their wedding day. Can you imagine? He says he was nervous, but his parents assured him they would grow to love one another. So he wants to know, "Do you love me?" Golda says she was shy and reviews all she has done for him over the last 25 years. Washed his clothes, cooked his meal, cleaned his house, given him children, milked the cow. After 25 years, she argues, why talk about love right now? Tevye is the romantic in this relationship. He wants to know how she feels. "Do you love me?" he says. His persistence now has Golda wondering the same thing. Do I love him? For 25 years, I've lived with him, fought him, starved with him. 25 years, my bed is his. If that's not love, what is? Then Tevye triumphantly accuses her, "Then you love me." Finally, she relents, however unromantically, and says, "I suppose I do." And he, in turn, confesses, "And I suppose I love you too." It's a cute story. And every time I read this account of Jesus and Peter, I can't help but hear the song in my head. Do you love me? But back to the text. It's a call to Peter to love and feed the followers of Jesus. Jesus asked Peter only one question, but he asks it three times. Not because he didn't know the answer, but because he knew how important it was for Peter to say it out loud three times in front of his companions. He's publicly redeeming himself after having denied knowing Jesus three times as he faced death. Jesus, too, wants to make sure that there's a commitment and understanding in Peter's response. He's making sure that Peter, and all of us for that matter, know that following Jesus doesn't mean hauling in a load of fish, all kinds of fish, or being fed on a beach. It also means feeding Jesus lambs and sheep. I don't think we need to know a whole lot about sheep to understand what he's saying. When Jesus says, "Feed my sheep," he's saying, "Take care of my people. Love the people I love. Make sure none of my beloved children are left out or left behind or lost." He teaches Peter and the disciples and us that feeding and caring for those who may be vulnerable are what it means to love him. He asked Peter three times to remind him and all those who hear this, including us, about what's important. And then he tells Peter that in order to do all of this, he will die and not the way he might imagine. He tells them that he will have to go where he doesn't want to go, that he will have to risk and sacrifice and lose his very life because of his commitment to loving all people that Jesus loved. Jesus tells him that and then says, "Follow me." And Peter does. And so do we. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we're still in the season of Easter and will be for a few more weeks. It's important for us to know not only about Christ's resurrection, but also about how he assured his followers, both then and now, that he would always be with them. It's important, too, to see that even when we do wrong, there's a way back. Help us to do the right thing, to know that when we do, you'll be there, and to follow you as boldly as the disciples did. Amen.
I think they move the lectern farther and farther away from the stairs every time. Thank you for being patient. So as we enter into our time of prayer, I want to draw your attention to today's prayer quilts. They are for Anna Nims, friend of Barb Terry and Pauline Schaefer, Janice Hagen, friend of Jane and John Benkarski, and also there was a prayer quilt that was shared earlier this week with Kathy Zaborski, sister of Donna Dybert. So we're going to, today during prayer time, make sure to send out some extra prayers for our prayer quilt recipients. So I don't know about you, but when Reverend Sue was mentioning all the events that led up to the crucifixion of Christ and the list of that chaos that was coming, I got a little panicked. There was just a lot of stuff that happened. And It reminded me of how I felt last week. It was a little overwhelming. Things just were coming left and right. And I was getting ready to do this prayer, and that's what I was thinking about. And I realized that this Sunday, today, was going to be the first day of May. How did we get here already? I mean, we're almost halfway through the year again. But this is also the time of spring, and all of the things that are happening in spring that are refreshing and renewing. And that reminded me that new life is beginning, and we need to look at the world afresh. So that's what I focused on in my prayer today. Because of those feelings of being overwhelmed and mentally and physically, that I just needed to take a minute, stop, and appreciate all the gloriousness that was happening. So let's do that as we're entering into this time of prayer. Pray with me. Lord, hear this prayer today as we sit here opening our hearts and minds to you in hopes of guidance, calming of fears, acceptance of praises, and for many, many other reasons. Our week has perhaps been filled with many ups and downs, and we need this time to be with you and collect ourselves, assess the damage perhaps, but also to celebrate your gifts. We need to take a breath and look toward a fresh perspective, that fresh start, a freedom from our burdens. When we speak of fresh starts, forgiveness comes to mind, whether it's us that needs forgiveness or that we need to forgive others. God, you are the King of forgiveness. May we take heed of your ultimate example of seeing beyond people's actions and past our disappointments. Your example of looking forward to what wonders will come next and not letting ourselves get bogged down by past mistakes. Thank you, Lord, for showing us new growth and possibilities, for giving us a fresh perspective on what life can be like as a Christian each and every day. Thank you for scooping us out of the dirt and setting us among the sunlight and green grass, for sending us the examples of the rebirth of things around us as a hint for the rebirth we can find in ourselves. We sing of your love, we sing praises to you, we call out to you, we give the glory. We will celebrate you in our life, and we thank you for this ability to celebrate this time when your light comes in and refills us. Let us reach out to your light. Turn toward your spirit to renew ourselves. Bring to us the fresh breeze of good intentions. Help us to start the week with a whole new perspective if we've felt overwhelmed. We pray to you for those people suffering through illness, hardship, disaster, loneliness. We pray for those with daily stress and worries, those that are anxious and uncertain about how or where their needs will be met. We pray that you help to open our eyes to those needs of people beyond ourselves. We pray for those people that are too overwhelmed to pray for themselves. But you are there for all of us to help provide for all of our needs. You help us be strong, creative, and hopeful for others. We pray for those lives touched by violence, war, loss. And we pray for your help to be the safe place for those that need a safe place. And now let's take a moment to say our own personal prayers. And now let's join our voices together by praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning to you. My name is James Kummer, and I love being a part of this congregation. My wife Pamela is sitting right here, and I love the Holy Communion. It is a time of refreshment and renewal for me. And one of the special things about the table for me is that we walk the same aisle together, and yet we are so different. We may even disagree about some things, but we remember this. Jesus loves us, and we belong to him, and we belong to each other, and I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. And so we come to this table. We are invited by our Lord himself. He is present. He wants to restore us, renew us, refresh us. And so we will let him do that, will we not? Join me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again. O God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. In the United Methodist tradition, and certainly the tradition of the Brighton First Church, the communion table is open to all who wish to receive the elements today for your refreshment, your renewal, your revival. Praise be to God. The bread of life, the cup of salvation.
And now it's time for the offering. And the ushers will come forward while we're having the offering. There will be a video shown of your work with Ukrainian refugees. If you're at home watching, the link is on the screen for you to participate online. Those of you here in the sanctuary will participate in the conventional way.
We send our greetings to First United Methodist Church in Brighton, and thank you for all your support for Ukrainians and for everything you do for us. And we thank you for your prayers, and we pray for you.
God bless you.
Risen Lord of all, you have given us your very life. One way we show our devotion to you is through our offerings. We know that people are suffering all over the world. Teach us how to follow you and lift up others in your name. Bless the offerings we bring today and guide us to use it in ways that feed your lambs. Amen.
Thank you.
And now go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.